That story in the Book of Numbers has snakes, poisonous ones, and a bronze one, an unsympathetic wilderness landscape, and the allusion to miraculous food that appears like dew in the morning. It's a bit weird, but it's also not so weird. Here we have a group of people who have all grown up only knowing oppression. In Egypt, they did what they had to do to survive, even as the privileged caste demanded an unreasonable output of product, bricks, while taking away their natural resources, straw. They survived even as they were disproportionately the victims of violence, and the king tried to recruit their own people to execute violence against them, the Hebrew midwives. Even as their oppressors called them lazy and demanded they work harder for nothing in exchange, the children of Israel survived and persisted until one day it was enough and God led them to freedom. But freedom isn't immediately an easy place to live. The effects of generational slavery and trauma are not undone by one wade through the Red Sea. The Israelites are hiking toward a home they haven't seen, a peoplehood that is hard to imagine as they squabble their way through the desert, and a future that just has no shape or hard proof yet. The Israelites have a longer way to go than can be measured in kilometers. And this moment in our story when they leave Mount Hor is a time when they could be feeling most alone in their suffering. They wanted to go through the land of Edom. All we heard was they went around the land of Edom. Back up, they wanted to go through it. And Edom is another name for Esau, the brother of Jacob, who was also named Israel. So the descendants of Israel asked permission of the descendants of Esau to just take the highway through the land of their distant relatives. But they were refused and even chased off by an army. It seems there really is no one who cares what happens to the Israelites. Have you ever landed in that space of convincing yourself that you are absolutely alone? That there is no one who could care about what you are going through. I've been seeking understanding for the much-discussed events last Saturday night when about 30 people with faces covered marched down Lock Street, vandalizing cars and shops. "We are the ungovernables," their banners said. Even as I deplore their actions and think that if they were trying to make a point about gentrification, it's mostly lost in the unfocused destruction, I do wonder what it takes to get to that place where you believe that no one is listening and you are entirely alone. I know basically nothing about the identity of those 30 people, but from some of the things I've read online this week, it's easy to pick up on that belief of we are alone and no one cares about our cares. A blog post from someone who claimed to be a participant in the group said, "Turning the tables and finally counterattacking Saturday night helped me to shake off some of the fear and frustration that build up when you're trapped in a hopeless situation." A more focused post came from The Tower, an anarchist social space downtown, which states they didn't organize the actions on Lock Street, though they've had their building vandalized this week in their wake. The folks at The Tower said they didn't organize it, but they support it, and they wrote this critique that needs a hearing. "Class war is happening every day in this city, with constant attacks on poor and working people. It's disappointing that so many only care about the occasional moment when a bit of anger flows back the other way. The ongoing effects of gentrification in this city are heartbreaking. Waves of displacement, growing violence, and intensifying poverty. You cannot expect for all of this to just be swept under the proverbial rug." Do you hear the cries of being alone? You're sweeping us under the rug. You only care when you're directly affected. You aren't listening to those who experience the violence of poverty every day. Now, of course, it's not true that anarchists are alone in caring about and mobilizing around the changes in Hamilton's landscape, changes that are making many people invisible and disposable. These are concerns for Christians to pray and act on, concerns that many of us Christians do pray and act on. They are concerns that one of the vandalism's victims, Donut Monster, acts on in their daily business practice, with 25 employees earning a living wage, which was last calculated at $15.85 in Hamilton, so higher than even our future minimum wage. And they do it by buying from local producers. Their Make Lemonade donut this week with glass-like candy shards on top was sold with the proceeds going to Indwell and affordable housing in this city. Many groups of people in this conversation this week have common concerns. But there's one thing that happens when a community seeks strength in one another and across differences through dialogue versus what I think feels like a group that believes itself to be alone and only listens within its own echo chamber. And the church can be as guilty of echo chambers as any other group, so that's something to remember. Back to the wilderness. The Israelites are not alone. They feel alone. The tenuous relationships they reached for have cut them off. And they, too, lash out. They complain against God and against Moses with some impressive hyperbole. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? There's no food or water, and it tastes terrible, too. And as the Israelites told and retold this story generations later, they identified their lashing out as sin and made meaning from what happened next. It's written, "The Lord sent poisonous serpents among the people, and they bit the people, so that many Israelites died. And they said to Moses, 'We have sinned by speaking against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord to take away the serpents from us.'" The Israelites had come to realize that though they had convinced themselves they were alone, they never truly were. Pray to the Lord for us. So Moses prayed for the people. Maybe that passes by you like a simple transaction. The people asked for prayer, and Moses prayed for the people. But those words were powerful to me this week. How often have you convinced yourself that you are alone in something, or maybe that you should be alone in something, that you should know how to improve your situation or start to feel better or figure out good solutions all on your own strength? Everybody else seems to have it all together, right? It's a myth, I'm just letting you know. Moses prayed for the people. The people needed prayer. The people needed each other, this community they were forming. The people needed to come to God and say, "We forgot you. We forgot that we're only free because of you. We are all too weak to do this on our own. We are dying without you." And I'm not here to tell you that the people needed to find their strength. I'm here to tell you that the people needed to find their weakness. Their healing came in saying out loud, "I need prayer," and then in facing the cause of their pain, that bronze serpent. That was their path to life, relying on someone else's strength to lift them up to God, and trusting that the thing they feared most would not kill them. The path to life in this story is in finding we are not alone. It is in finding ourselves at the end of our own strength and entrusting the power of prayer to one or to those we trust. And the path to life is in not letting our greatest fears have the greatest power. In the Gospel of John, we heard Jesus say, For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God. Now, Jesus was saying this to Nicodemus, who came to Jesus by night, in the dark, so that none of his peers could know that he was engaging in dialogue with this mischief maker. But Jesus said, "Bring your deeds, your truth, into the light. Let them be seen." Jesus said that the Son of Man himself had to be lifted up for all to see the truth of eternal life. Jesus was lifted up in crucifixion and lifted up in resurrection and ascension. Which was he comparing to Moses with the bronze serpent? I think perhaps both. As the bronze serpent stood for both death and life, so Jesus would be lifted up in death and in new life, eternal life. But we do not arrive at Easter without passing through 40 days in the Lenten desert, and especially the shadows of Holy Week, when the corporate power of empire was on display, when people of God fled and faithful followers denied their Lord. Brokenness is in this Lenten journey before we come to the fulfillment of Easter. And brokenness is in each of our own journeys as we yearn for the life and wholeness we are promised in Christ. Bring your truth into the light, where you will be reminded that you are not alone, that your community will have the strength to lift you to God, and that God hears all of your cries. Last Saturday night, as angry people were gathering and preparing to pull masks over their faces, I was sitting at the Staircase Theater in Dundurn, listening to seven women share their personal stories at an event hosted by Steel City Stories and the Good Shepherd in celebration of International Women's Day. The stories were hilarious and heartbreaking, touching and tearful. True stories of their own experiences of mental illness, grief, sexual violence, and family struggles, they were brought into the light. And as we held those stories in the light together, as pain and weakness were lifted up, and we cried and we laughed together, I was very conscious of the resilience and the strength and life that was in that space. I had walked in there by myself, but none of us were alone. For God so loved the world that God was born into the world in Jesus. And in turning to Jesus, we don't find condemnation for our brokenness, but instead healing of it, wholeness. We find in Jesus life that is everlasting. If you choose today, you may participate in a time of being prayed for and anointed with oil by myself or Tim Epp or Jocelyn Fraze. This may be a moment when you'd like to lift something to the light, to ask for prayer for something specific, or you don't need to say anything out loud, and simply receive this symbol of belonging to Christ, abiding in the care of the community, and relying on God's power to bring wholeness in our lives. Oil was a common remedy for pain in the ancient world, so this ordinary substance speaks to us of extraordinary grace and the way that God restores wholeness to the body and the soul. If you have not experienced this before, do not be afraid to participate. When we are ready, simply come to any of the three of us where we're standing, and it's okay to stand and wait while someone else is there. You can say a word about how we can pray for you, but you don't have to. We will pray for you and then anoint you with oil, making the sign of the cross on your forehead And if you prefer that to be your hand, simply gesture that when the moment comes. You may also choose to sit in your seat in this time to pray and reflect on the music that will play. Psalm 107 tells many stories of God's people. Some wandered in desert wastes, hungry and thirsty. Their souls fainted within them. Some sat in darkness and gloom, prisoners in misery and in irons. Their hearts were bowed down with hard labor. They fell down with no one to help. Some were sick through their sinful ways, and they drew near to the gates of death. And every one of these stories ends with this affirmation. Then they cried to God in their trouble, and God delivered them from their distress. Let's sing together as we prepare for this time of anointing and prayer. You can remain seated for this song in your blue hymnal, 553, I am weak and I need thy strength. Come, people of God, receive the oil of anointing as a sign of Jesus' presence with you, as a mark that you belong to Messiah, the Anointed One, and as a prayer for God to make you whole. Come with needs spoken and unspoken, and lift your need for God to the light, for in the light of Christ is life everlasting. Come.
walking on.